Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful we can gather here and just worship you. We're so thankful we can gather here as the family of God. And Lord, we give all praise and glory to you. I pray, Lord, you would just touch each person as we look into the Word and reveal things that only you could show us. I pray you'd anoint me, the Spirit, and I just speak things of the Spirit. And Lord, we look forward to you and together in your name and to see you do a mighty work. And so, Lord, anything I say is just irrelevant unless you move in supernatural power. And so we ask that. Just come, Lord Jesus, come. We give thanks to you. Amen. Amen. All right, turn this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll look at 6 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 6 through 7. So, it reads like this. For this reason, I remind you to fan into a flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Now, as we look at this verse, and we're going to, cover, just several things about the Holy Spirit and His move in our life. But I'll always say this foundation, we start always here. You know, but I'll repeat it anyway. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for our sins. We believe on Him. We are forgiven. All God's people. Amen. So we're starting there. So we know that, and we're not going to say anything here, believe anything here that isn't built off of that foundation. So on that foundation, we see the Apostle Paul, and he is writing to one of his primary disciples since he was a young man, is Timothy. And by the way, 2 Timothy is the last letter that Paul wrote. He's fixing to be executed, so this is his last letter, and he's writing his disciple Timothy, and he's encouraging him, knowing he's not going to be around anymore. And this is what he says to him. So Timothy has a full understanding of the scriptures and stuff, but the Apostle Paul, this is what he feels necessary to spur this young man on. Now, so what he says here, he said he wanted to remind Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God that was given him. Okay, now right there we should kind of grab hold of that. I'm not going to be here. You're on your own, if you will. Fan into a flame the gift of God that was given you. Now we need to pay attention to that, okay? We need to pay, because this is real. We just said we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. Amen? Then we need to believe this, okay? You need to fan into a flame of the gift of God that was given you. And you notice this, when we came to know the Lord, we are saved. He did the whole thing. We just came to Him. God, save us. He saved us. But here He's asking us to do something. He's asking us to fan into a flame this gift. And so it should be a tremendous encouragement to us, and we need to fan into a flame the gift that was given to us. All right? This isn't just a one-time deal. No, it's to all of us. We need to fan into flame the gift of God that is given to us. Now, the fan into a flame, of course, is a metaphor to rekindle a fire. Rekindle a fire. He could say, keep the fire burning. Throw some logs on the fire. Keep, you were on fire at one time, and throw the logs on the fire. I don't know this thought story. As you know, every once in a while, a story comes to mind. But I'll share this one. We had a gentleman come and speak to us. I mean, and he was a legitimate, and he's gone to be with the Lord, so I can say this with confidence. I hate to brag on anybody that's not dead, okay? So this guy's died. He's died, okay? But he came here, and what he did, we had a men's meeting. It was one of the most unbelievable times I'd ever spent in my life. And what he did, he called, and he just prophesied over different people. And what was interesting about this, he didn't know these people. He didn't know, but I did. I did. So I'm listening. I'm going, oh, my gosh. He don't know that. I know that, but he didn't know that, And I'll never forget I had this man, and he'd come to me, and he said, I was so on fire for God. I was just loved God. And he's in a Christian group, and he memorized, you know, 1,000 verses in college, you know. And he did all sorts of spiritual activities in college. And now he's married and has 3 kids. Anybody say married and 3 kids changes things for me? And he said, I don't know. I just don't have that fire. And I talked to him, and I didn't give him any fire. You know, I tried to, but it was like, wasn't nothing working. I mean, he's a nice guy. So we went at this prophetic time, and he prayed over all of us, including me. It was amazing. So he called this boy up. He said, man, he says, come up here, talk to me. And he came up. He looked at him. He said, what's your name? He said his name. And he said, I want to just ask you something. What happened? And I'm like, oh. I'm going, oh, I know what happened. You know, and I'm going, he said, what happened? He says, what happened to the fire? He says, and then he prayed, you know, just step back, you know, and then, you know, go back to where you started. And I'm thinking, holy cow. You know, but he called it, but he did that. There's a sincere word, a prophecy over a thing, anything that was, that I would say was totally legitimate, just because I knew all these people and he didn't, you know. And it's like, oh my goodness. It was funny too, I always say this is like a legitimate prophet. He asked my permission. May I pray over your people? I have at it, brother. But the whole thing, what he's doing is I am the pastor, was the pastor, and he put himself under my authority. That's the way he did it. And asked for a prayer. I said, yeah, sure, go ahead. You know, and then when it was over, he said, was that okay? Was everything okay? I said, yep. Anyway, so anyway, it's really fast. But so what you're talking here is something that almost what Paul is saying to Timothy, fan into a flame, that fire. It's not get the fire, fan into a flame, the fire, you know. And so, you know, the thing of it is, you know, and that fanning of the flame is the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now that's what it's talking about. The Holy Spirit, fan into a flame, the fire of the Holy Spirit. See, Christians are meant to be on fire. That's the way we're supposed to. See, that's the way we're supposed to be. That's the natural way of a Christian. And if you're not on fire, you're not like a natural Christian. You see what I'm saying? That's the message here. Now, so we look at this. And so we also look at this verse where he's telling Timothy here. And he uses the term in gift. The word gift is charisma. That, if you look it up in the Greek, that's what it is. It's charisma. It's a gift. And so fan in to flame that charisma. Now, what the Apostle Paul does, he uses that word 16 times throughout his epistles. 16 times. And it's only used once elsewhere, and that's in 1 Peter 4:10. And he talks basically about a charisma that believers are to have. Now, when this word is used, this charisma, which would be most of the time translated as a gift, most of what it is saying here, it's the word means an extraordinary operation of the Holy Spirit in the church, which includes all spiritual gifts. So it's a big word. But it's like the charisma, you've known it, it's the full range of God's spiritual gifts, extraordinary gifts that work within the church, and we're to fan those into a flame. That's the way the church is supposed to be. Supposed to be. You see what I'm saying? So in this thing, he goes, fan that into a flame. So it's all the gifts in the church, all the people. He says, fan it into a flame. That's what the church is supposed to be like, on fire with all these people with charisma. And that's not what the world says. He has a lot of charisma, which means nothing. It's like a spiritual gift from God, this charisma. Now, and also what we see here, and it's fascinating, our supernatural spiritual gift from God, it's a supernatural spiritual gift of God, but he asks us to fan it into a flame. Oh God, fan it in. No, you do that. See, I gave it to you, now you fan it in flame. You do things to fan that gift into a flame for my use. Now, now also what's interesting, when you look at this, and it says, truly, these gifts are from God. They're not, people don't give it. They are from God. But what's interesting is, it also, is the human element is involved. A lot of times, the human element is involved. So, Timothy received this gift when the Apostle Paul laid hands on him. That's what he said. You know, you have this gift when I made, which is in you, when I laid hands on you. So there's an element of Paul participating in this gift that God gave Timothy. And so you, okay, again, so you see this dynamic within the church. You see this dynamic within the church. Now, so you... So here you have the idea of, which leads into, of what you would call impartation, okay? Impartation, where if you pray over someone and they ask you, and God uses you, God's given the gift, but he uses you to pray over somebody that imparts, imparts. Now, it's all through the scriptures. Now, different people... I mean, different people can issues with this, but it's all through the scripture, you know. I mean, so there's an element of where you lay hands on somebody and you impart to them from yourself, from what God does, but you are an instrument in imparting this. And like I said, it's found all through the scriptures. And even Paul reminded Timothy that these gifts were also imparted to him previously, you know, for his gifting and his ministry. So when we see this impartation for ministry, okay, and you know, it's like when Moses prayed over the people that came up, said he imparted his authority. Therefore, people were responsible to these people who imparted authority to behave towards him just like they did them, just like he did Moses. So he imparted that. And it's, again, it's a scriptural principle all through scriptures. You don't even have to like, oh, find one here. No, it's all through scriptures. So this is a, you know, important lesson for us, an object lesson, that there's a divine and human cooperation by laying on of hands. It really is biblical. There's your the ones and the elders or whatever, when they lay upon hands, they're cooperating with God and what God does. And commissions, you know, it's we had two elders recently commissioned. And so, you know, they come up here and you think, okay, so the other two elders laid hands on them, commissioned them before you, you know, and that... you know, and then thus you say, okay, they're elders. You know, say, okay, that, you know, that's a, you know, kind of good photo op or something. But no, God said, no, what you did, what you did, and you agreed to, you agreed to. He said, now you tell me. Yeah, no, what you agreed to, what we did, and when we laid hands on them and we prayed for them, we commissioned them before God. See, and then you agreed that they are elders before God. So when they step out, they're still the same God, but all of a sudden there's an element, they have become commissioned by God that brings them out a certain amount of authority. But that's just, so this is what happens here. And so, and God just says, you need to take it serious. You need to take this serious, because when, you know, I work with me, I'll come and I'll talk to the elders and the people in the congregation, you know, and I don't know if I told these guys this, but I will judge the elders more strictly. I skipped over that. They'd find out soon enough. But anyway, so he says, I judge the elders more strictly, you know. And so they have a whole, you know, God takes it very, 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 very serious. You know, like a lot of times he wants to punish the church, you know. He punishes the elders first. So Well, I'm saying, it's just like, see, I didn't, like I said, just certain things I left out of the commission. But, you know, no, I'm joking. They knew. Now, but anyway, so I'm making a point here, the importance of it and the importance of what Paul is telling Timothy for him to be able to continue on in a ministry that's going to be very, very difficult. That's what he's trying to do. Helping, you know, so being a difficult that you can shepherd the church the way you should. And we'll turn here, look at 1 Timothy. Now, this is a previous letter. In 1 Timothy 4:14, we have where Paul had said this, and I'm assuming he's talking about the same event, same letter to Timothy, but it's an earlier letter. And it says this in 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift you have. So, I mean, do not collect the gift you have. But I mean, how many Christians have gifts? They may not be fanned into a flame. You want your children. You have a gift. You want it fanned into a flame because you have to start at the bottom. But you fan it in. Oh, you know. Anyway, that's what God, he'll fan it into us. But so here it is. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. See, back again, bringing Timothy back to understanding of the importance of the situation in which he has responsibility. And it's also confirming his gift, but also commissioning by the elders. The whole congregation sees that authority has been passed to him and the congregation of Greece. You know? Do you see what I'm saying? So it's an understanding of how God's moving within his church and how he's speaking to each one of us. And so it's do not neglect the gift you have. So you put these together, you got a gift, don't neglect it. Fan it into a flame. So he's got both things there. Don't neglect it. Fan it into a flame. And so that could happen, you know, in a lot of different ways, but it's all based on our relationship with the Lord. And the word neglect, and it always fascinates me when you look, you can tell, the word neglect is only used one place in the scriptures, and it's here. Now, that's funny. I mean, that's kind of a common word, and neglect. But what it means is to be really careless about something. So he's saying, listen, don't be careless about a gift I just gave you, you know. And he's also saying this, to neglect God's gift is sin, especially if it was imparted and commissioned by the elders. It's sin. No, you got a gift. No, if you don't use it, that's like a sin. You need to, and before the Lord, before the Lord. And so it's a fascinating way we look at each one of these. And certainly this commissioning will include prophetic words. Now listen to this, and this is, boy, I see this violated a lot. God gives gifts, but those gifts should be recognized and authenticated by the elders of the church. See, and that's a natural. You know, like you see like these on TV or something, you know, this, I'm a prophet, and, you know, I'm just worldwide prophet, you know. That's not biblical. The prophets need to be recognized by the church. And that's, like I told this gentleman, I mean, this guy was really, what the guy, just a godly guy, prophetic, is amazing. I was just humbled to be in his presence. But when he came into our church, he said, do I have permission to speak over your people? I mean, I almost said, what are you asking me for, man? They just have it. Yeah. But no, see, the whole thing, he knew full well. No, I have no authority unless Wallace gives it to me. See, that's all he is saying. Well, that's how you know somebody has a prophetic gift. And I'm always, always hesitant to pay much attention to anyone who proclaims some spiritual gift and is not tied into a church. They need to be tight because the church is the one who holds them accountable. The church is. So, you know, it's just something to pay attention. And again, you see it on television all the time, but every once in a while, I've even received, hey, you know, I have this prophetic ministry, blah, 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 and I'd like to come to your church. And I just, I'll get really appreciate your phone call. I don't think so. I mean, I don't know him. You know, his church didn't come. I don't know him, but I'm sure he goes to church. But it's like, no, that you should be recognized by a body of Christ that we're familiar with. And that they say, you are a good guy for prophecy. See, that's the way you go. But then, too, I would add the thing, I don't know you. I want to get to know you. I want to talk to you. Now, so, isn't that just wisdom? Isn't that just wisdom? You know, I heard there was a church, and actually, I think it's safe to say that it was actually, and there's a connection with Dove Fellowship, and they actually did some healing on that church. But this guy came in, and he was a prophet, you know, and he's been prophesying in all these different places. And the guy was real charismatic. And so he had come in, and they're saying prophet, you know, and the people got to really like him and stuff like that. And what he did, he literally took over the church, got rid of the pastor and the elders, and just took with his charisma and his very prophetic charisma, just got rid of the total leadership, you know, like that. And the guy turned out to be, now this is a true story, I know all the people involved, and a true story. Then he became very, very dictatorial. And I can't, I mean, when I hear this, I can't, not that somebody becomes dictatorial, but in having people to do certain things. But if you were really in the, you would call him, now we're talking adults here, they refer to him as daddy. Daddy. You know, I'm sitting here in my sin going over my dead body. I mean, you know, I'm not going to call you daddy. I mean, I don't know. And I know these people that God fearing, but they did it. And then it got so bad that some of them started leaving and stuff like that. And the thing that broke the camel's back is he had one of the people in the congregation, their daughter, was taking care of his kids. And he runs away with the daughter. That kind of, you know, so it fell apart. But you see what I'm saying? It's like, who would figure, you know? But he had the charisma to outshine the pastor, the leadership, and suck the congregation in, and actually grew the congregation. See what I'm saying? So we need to pay attention to what spiritual. He's appointed elders, and I've commissioned them, and you accepted them. And there's not an outside prophet or anything else to come in, you know, that would override that biblically. And you're asking for trouble if they. Now, that's a true story. That happened recently, and I know all the people involved. So we're paying attention. The laying on hands of elders. It's a big deal. God pays attention to it, and the body is the evidence of the authority of that. I mean, you're here because you want to be here, and then you're here, you want to be here, and you recognize these guys are our elders, you know what happened, they come out of the congregation, you knew them for years, you know, and then, but there's a commissioning that God said, okay, this is, I'm going to use these elders, as flawed as they may be, to protect the body. And therefore, like you have this really, in this case, with this Leon Price came in, unbelievable prophet, you know. I mean, if he'd say, I just want to take over, I probably gave it to him. I mean, I was so impressed with the guy, you know, but he wouldn't have taken, no. Do I have your permission? Do I have your permission? So anyway, lesson. I mean, the Bible's covering it because he knew there'd be, and he tells us, false prophets, you know, there's going to be charlatans, and so we need to be educated in the sense that we won't let that happen to us, just based on what the Word says. Now, but again, keep in your mind, anything, and there's some prophetic people out there, and some look prophetic, but they need to be under the church. They need to be under some church leadership. And in that church, if you know who they are, you'll have an idea of this guy's qualifications based on what kind of church he belongs to. You got that? So anyway, just something to learn. Something to learn here that we each have. Now, so in the back of this, we're praying about, he says, this gift, Paul says, you have because the elders and we prayed over you and you have this gift. Now fan it into a flame, you know, and there's a multitude of gifts, and that's not what this message is about. And then he goes on to say this, we have a responsibility, we have to fan into the flame we have. All right? And that fan, we're fanning it, is to minister to others all the time. You fan that flame so you can minister to others. And that's how the church is supposed to function. Now, as we go on, I'll go back to what it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, where we just read that. Because it continues and it says this, to fill out what Paul is just saying here. He says, God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Now you see what? You fan in a flame the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that spirit in you, which God gave to you, okay, that's when you accept it, that spirit he gave to you, it's one that's not a fear. There's no fear. You said you're strong. There's no fear because of the Holy Spirit within you. And that fear is of power, love, and self-control. So that's all elements of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's filling us up to teach us that. Now, so that's a very important truth we need to recognize. Why? We have the Holy Spirit within us. Holy Spirit within us. It's not a fear. You know, some of us can be very, very fearful. Just know that's not of God. That's not the Holy Spirit. It's just not. You know, and so the thing to take care of that is to draw closer to God and appropriate him in your situation. Now, here's a little note here, okay? This is, and you should, I don't know what you have, you're taking notes on, but just take a note on this. A lot of the scriptures say God gave us a spirit, okay? Not a fear, but of power, love, and self-control. I just want you to know, where it says a spirit, that a is not there. So I'm not editing the Bible. When you look in the Bible and you read it literally, there is no a. There's no a. A lot of times you see a or the. The has a specific Greek word. It has a specific Greek word. But in a lot of times translations to English, they'll insert the because it just helps us to understand, you know, and not taken away from. Well, here in this translation, the ESV and most others, it says it has little a, little spirit. He did not give you a spirit. But there's no a there. So my thinking is, since there's no a there, that's capital letter S, not little letter S. He gave you the spirit, capital letter. It's not a little letter, okay? Well, that makes a difference. I mean, he didn't give us a little letter spirit, you know, attitude or anything, which is, I guess, okay. But a lot of people believe that, no, the A is not there, therefore the S should be capitalized. And that's exactly what I believe, because it makes total sense when you capitalize the S, okay? So, we know he gave us big S Holy Spirit. He gave us big, which the big-ass Holy Spirit is not a fear, but power, love, and self-discipline. Big-ass, okay? Now just note, okay, that's, you know, that the A is not there. You can argue about whether the S should be capitalized, but the A is not there. So I'm totally sold that that's a capital S. Now, therefore, the Spirit... it's not a spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit with all his power. And also saying a spirit totally misses Paul's own usage and theology through all his writings. I mean, he doesn't use that theology or anything in any of his writings. Now, Paul is reminding Timothy, what? He's encouraging this in the his gift, fanning it into a flame, it overflows with what? Power. Dynamite, you know, that's where you get dynamite. It overflows with power. It overflows with love. And it overflows with self-control. So you, all of a sudden you can see someone that's overflowing with the Holy Spirit. There's a characteristic characteristics about them, that there's power from God, okay? Not a charisma that can just fake out a whole congregation of people. But there's a charisma, a power from God, and then there is love. So whoever this person is has a self-sacrificing love about them, you know. As they told me about this guy that took over this church, this terrible thing, big church, there's not an ounce of self-sacrifice in this guy. I mean, you know, it's kind of me, call me daddy and give me all your money, you know, one of those things. So it's love, it's self-sacrifice, and then there's self-discipline. Not out of control. He's not out of control. You know, and all this comes the presence of the Holy Spirit that works through us. Now, I want to bring out a point here that I think is helpful. And where it says self-discipline in your Bible, okay, now the King James translates that sound mind. And I actually think that's the proper translation, sound mind. And what the word is, it's one that the English are trying to translate what the Greek means, self-discipline, sound mind. Well, when you read the whole definition of that word, it's more sound mind, like the King James said, and it's a sound mind, which means the meaning is, which is the ability to make decisions. Self-discipline, sound mind. It's the ability to make decisions. So God gave us a spirit that gives us the ability to make decisions. That's what. Have you ever been in a situation? Here, the world's coming at you. I don't know what to do. I don't have a clue. These things. I don't know. I just can't make a decision. The Holy Spirit gives you a sound mind that you have the ability to make a decision. Know it. I don't care what comes at you. No, I know. I don't know what to do right now. I know God will give me the ability to make the decision because he gave me his spirit. By the way, when did you get the Holy Spirit? Salvation. So you, right off the bat, you got the ability to make decisions. All right? Now, you have to grow that, appropriate that, and move in it to develop it, but you have the ability. No one said, I don't know what to do. I need to pray about it. I need to go over this and see what the Lord's going to reveal to me. But to say you don't know what to do is non-biblical. And it's like getting in touch with God and the Holy Spirit and appropriating what he says, you will have the ability. It's not that you can't. It's just you need to get connected so you can. That's what the Holy Spirit. And that is fan into a flame. I don't know what to do. Then fan into a flame, the Holy Spirit, and you know what to do. Amen. See what God's telling us? You know, we're not out here, you know, alone. But God said, now, no, it's going to be, you know, testing and all that. But as you connect with this, you're going to see that I'll lead you through it. And as he teaches you to go through certain things, you kind of develop a habit pattern and an understanding of what God's doing, and it becomes somewhat easier and quicker to call on God, fan into flame. God, you got to, you know, show me this. But see the confidence there? Power, love, and the ability to make decisions. Ability to make decisions. Now, so we see this, and so it's very practical. In this world, I don't know what to do. This is crazy. Only God can fix this. Okay, now that's a good statement. Only God can fix this. So just ask him how you fit into this equation and what you're supposed to do. Because he's going to take care of all the rest of it. So it's really an insightful thing. Now remember how he started the verse off. Fan into a flame. It's not that, pray you get it. No, you got it. Fan it into a flame. Now, this is a great thing to teach your kids, you know. Because, you know, they're just going to have so much stuff coming at them in this world. And it's like, oh, my God, you know. I don't remember mom telling me this, you know. But if they walk in a situation where, now I know what's going on, but I know I can fan into a flame and God will show me. See, their mind will switch to that. And even when they blow it and mess up, which they will like we did, they say, man, no, I could see how the Lord, he was trying to show me that and I didn't see it. See, their thinking changes. Their process thinking. It's not rules, it's a relation. It's a whole relationships. And so, again, why this, the a sound mind. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, really, I mean, these verses and these things, they're like worthless if we don't kind of know how to get around them and embrace them and put them into practice, because they're not like bricks in a house. It's things of the spirit that you can't necessarily touch, but are also very, very real. But they're by faith, because we walk by faith, not by sight. We move into these things, and God starts revealing himself, you know. And each time he'll move. I'm sure you've experienced in your life. You know, you go this far, and like, oh, my God, I see more, you know. Oh, I see more, you know. Or we go wrong, say, this was dead wrong, and I knew it back here. And you come. I mean, you see, there's a growth process. There's a growth process. But the thing of it is, God is telling us we have God in us, the Holy Spirit in us, and he is doing this right now. Now, here it is. I am in my commentary. I think it's powerful and it's truthful, but I want to confess up front, this is me putting some things together, and it's my commentary, and so you listen to it, but you see what kind of application to make in your own life in everyday things. All right? Last week, we looked at I mentioned that the first pillar of faith was incarnation. They had the pillars of truth in the first one, and the first pillar is incarnation. Incarnation is it mean, you know, Jesus' spirit came to the ground, covered himself in flesh. Okay, now that's incarnation. Okay, you got me? Jesus' spirit, God's the spirit. He came to earth, he covered himself in flesh, you know, through the virgin birth, and he walked this earth as God covered in flesh. Amen? Therefore, how could he do these miracles? How could he do the thing? Well, he's God. You know, it really helped being God. But he's covered in flesh, so he looks like a man, all right? And so he's moving around, God covered in flesh. And so he came down here to earth, and then God covered in flesh, died on the cross, and paid the penalty for our sins. Who paid the penalty for our sins? God in flesh. See, we think, Jesus, that's tough on God. You know, but you see what I'm saying? But Jesus is a person. Now, we know, I'll be technical here, God the Father, Jesus sits at his right hand, the Holy Spirit indwells us. That's the Trinity. Okay, you say God in us, Holy Spirit in us, Jesus, it doesn't make any difference. But anyway, we just know that's the Trinity. So, but the first thing we know, incarnation, Spirit covered in flesh. Okay, we good? Now listen to this. When we receive the Holy Spirit, what happens to us? We receive Holy Spirit in us, right? Call it God in us, Christ in us, but we receive the Holy Spirit in us. Now, listen to this. Therefore, we are spirit covered in flesh. Now think about that. We are not God, okay? You know, put this before this message, after that, we are not God. Wallace never said we were God. didn't do it. But you look, Jesus, spirit cannot, he just covered with flesh. Perfect. We are, when we trust Jesus, and it's part of that, we receive the Holy Spirit. He dwells in. So we have God in us. Amen? Everybody with that? God in us. Therefore, we are spirit covered in flesh, just like Jesus. Now, what Jesus did, he didn't have a sin nature, okay? He didn't have all the hang-ups. He didn't have, you know, that's a help, okay? He didn't. So he was covered, he didn't have a sin nature, you know. Well, we have a sin nature, okay? So what happened to us, God's will is that we're covered with flesh, all right, just like Jesus. But we did badly this sin nature. God is telling us all sorts of stuff to do, and we're not doing, and we're arguing, and we're doing all sorts of stuff like that. See, but what we do in life is God, by that Holy Spirit, transforms us from within to behave like Jesus. You see? Now, when you think about that, and please don't take it further than what I said. We are sinful beings, but we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit who moves us and transforms us to behave like Jesus in his protection. But the point of a believer is spirit covered in flesh. Now, look at our position with God. Look at our position with God and how God looks at us. God calls us brothers and sisters with God. He says we will reign with Christ. Do you see the connection that God's making with that? Because when we reign with Christ, we won't have that sinful nature either. See? And we'll reign with Christ. So when we look at this, and we need to look at this, what the things we just said previously, is now that as we move forward, God says, I'm trying to show you who you are. And you're going to have to make decisions within. I did a message, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I said the real war, and the real war is within us. That's what real war is, within us. But we start making decisions for Jesus. We start walking with God. We start understanding God. The more we walk with God, the more we can hear God, the more we can learn, and as we go forward. And that's the way we're supposed to be. And he says, what you do now, your spirit covered in flesh, fan it into flame. Fan it. It's there. Fan it into, you got everything you need. Fan it into a flame. Because God says, because I'm not going to do that. You have to fan it into a flame. You have to make decisions. You fan it into a flame. That's our responsibility. But it really helps when we understand that picture. We understand that picture. And so you have, it's fascinating when you read this verse. Jesus said, he actually said a couple places, and he said, I only do what the Father tells me. Now, what is that? You can do anything you want to, you know. He said, no, because I'm showing you how a man and woman are supposed to be, and all they do is listen to God and obey God. And that's all I do, because I have no sin nature. And God in me, directing me, I just do what he says. So as people incarnate the Spirit with us, he goes, just do what the Holy Spirit says. Just like Jesus. I only do what God says. He goes, try that. Only do what God says. See, this was all connected in how he wants the church to function here. And 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says this. And again, we read it, remember, but no, do we know what it says? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body, flesh, do you not know that your body, flesh, is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Do you not know your incarnation? Do you know you are not the Spirit with flesh dwelling around you? It's incarnated. But read that. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. He's going, what are you doing? Do what I tell you. You're not your own. Do what I tell you. You're an incarnation of me. Listen. Fan into a flame. That's what he's saying. So, again, the dynamic and the power of this is overwhelming. Now, you can say, call it God in you, Christ in you, Holy Spirit in you, but technically it is the Holy Spirit in you, all right? Then we also have the power and ability to make sound decisions. We should be able to make as sound of a decision as Jesus does. Really? But that's what he's saying. No. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. Fan into a flame, back off, make decisions, and he said, you'll make the right decisions. That's relationship. He doesn't, you want to make the right decision? Here's 47 things. Let's see, how many laws are there? 680 laws. Look at this, follow them. No, you fan into a flame, and you listen to God, and you do what God has to say to you. And this is why Jesus said to the disciples, oh, I'm going to Father, don't worry about it. You will do greater things than me Why? Because you're an incarnation. You're the Holy Spirit covered in flesh. You can do more than me. You see the thing? The depth of this? So it's really powerful. Now, and then we go all the way back to Acts. And so God never, I mean, this isn't like, oh, this is a new teaching, this is a new theology, this is, you know, a 21st century something. No, this is how the church began. This is how the church began right then. And so we can go back. Our job is to fan to flame the gift of God into a roaring flame. Because we have a flame. You ever, Nicky Gumbel said, he used to say this. He says, they have these furnaces, and they have a pilot line. And he says, we're all pilot-like Christians. You know, it's that we're in, you know, a pilot-like Christian. He said, but you turn that thing on, you turn it and go, whoo. He said, then that's what we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be pilot-like Christians. We're supposed to be roaring fire Christians. But we got the flame. Turning on the furnace is up to us. Decisions we make. And so, Jesus, yeah, you're going to do more than I did, you know. Now, this, don't feel bad. The disciples didn't get it either. They did not understand that. They didn't make it. That didn't make any sense to them whatsoever. But this is what they understood immediately in the book of Acts, the first two chapters, the beginning of the church. And so, Peter says this, Acts 2:38. Repent, and again, repent means turn. Make a decision. Just turn. You know, the English word for repent is not too helpful here. Repent means turn. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And 90% of all God's churches put a period there. And by the way, they're getting you heaven. Okay, that's a good clause. They get you, but they put a period there. But there's no period there. There's a comma there. There's a comma. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now fan it into a flame. Be an on-fire furnace. Turn that thing on. But we have to fan it into. He gave us the Spirit. We fan it into a flame. And that's what he's telling Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, I'm not long for this world. You're not going to see me again. You know? And everybody says that then they believe that Paul had his head cut off right there. Okay? And so you don't see me again. But you fan into a flame. And you'll do more than I did. So he's saying the same thing. But you see the importance now? Amen? We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and our sins are forgiven. Okay? And we receive the Holy Spirit. And Paul's saying almost his last words, fan it into a flame. Fan it into a flame. I'll do more than you ever imagine. But it falls on us. It falls on us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, and we thank you what you say, what have you communicated to us. And Lord, we have all that we need. We have all that we need. And we need to just call you into every situation. Just call you, Lord God, into every situation. Fan into a flame the Holy Spirit. And just stand strong listening to you, knowing you're doing more than we can ever imagine. And you're going to tell us how specifically to move in what you're doing. So we thank you for that. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.